It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a Life and Love Transformational Coach at Your Next Amazing Story. I am so excited because today we have a very special guest, Barbara Klein, and she's a dating and life coach, and she's a former client. And I'm super excited to have her here today because today we're talking about how it's never too late to reinvent yourself and discover quality love. So welcome, Barbara. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm so excited and honored to be here with you today.
I know. You're so adorable. I love your enthusiasm and you look so beautiful today. But before we jump into how to reinvent yourself and discover quality love, can you share with the ladies what inspired you to become a dating and life coach yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's an awesome story. So probably about 5 years ago, you came across my Facebook feed and you were having a Valentine's Day contest and I applied and I won and it was a consultation with you. And it was so awesome, and you were so connected to me. I felt heard. I felt understood. I felt like you were able to see the things that I could shift and really make an impact. And that really impressed me. So I immediately signed up with you and took your coaching, and I really feel I felt so knowledgeable when I finished your coaching program. And so I was out there in the dating world and still not having success, but the things that I did learn from you was that I could see the negatives of people that I knew would not serve me so much faster. Like immediately, even just through messaging on a dating website. And I was able to feel so empowered about where I was on my life's journey that even if I hadn't been successful, I felt good about where I was and I was fine with being alone if that was God's intent for me. But I had a feeling that God had somebody special out there, and I would get frustrated and I'd go off the dating websites. And then a month or two or three later, I would go back on, and I did. And lo and behold, in February of 2018, my forever love showed up, and we've been together for 2 years now, and it's been amazing, and he treats me so well, and I just feel so blessed.
Aw, I love that. And so is that what made you yourself become a dating and life coach?
Well, that's true. I didn't answer the question.
That's okay.
So while along the journey, I said to my friends, when I find my forever love, I want to teach other people how to do this. And so that's why I am a dating and life coach today.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Is that, see, it's this thing where I empowered you and now it's a chain reaction. It's like that ripple effect is now you get to empower women because you work with both women and men. And I only work with women. So it's this ripple effect, though, that we get to help and empower other people, too. And so that they can find their true love. This is amazing. And you know, Barbara, I've seen over the years in knowing you, because I've known you now for a while, is that I've seen you just grow in your self-confidence, in your self-esteem, in who you are. And I loved watching you really transform in your own life. And I'm not just talking about a man, because I just want to make this clear, is that having a man is not the end all be all. Like, if you don't get that, that doesn't mean that you're not amazing and you're not successful. But watching you transform even before you met the love of your life, you know, in 2018.
Yeah, absolutely. The things that I've realized over the years is that I've been on a trajectory over the past 30 years, elevating myself. The past 5 to 8 years have been extraordinary. You know, working with you and also doing this work, connecting with other people, and again, dealing with my own journey, it has been remarkable. You know, I do have ebbs and raises in my life, and when I feel the sinking, I immediately analyze what's going on and what I can do differently to shift or pivot, because I know that, first of all, I'm not willing to stay there in the low. And I am totally about being positive and taking care of myself. You know, my boyfriend and I, we don't live together. He's actually away right now. So a lot of times I am alone. I'm not with him. But we do communicate. And I love that we do. But I don't need him to be present for me to feel whole. I'm whole in my own self.
Right. And I love that you just shared that. So, Barbara, before we worked together, were you looking for a coach to work with? Or were you like, let me just see what this is?
So, you know, my experience during the 8 years, because it was 8 years ago I became single, I actually had gone to like local matchmaking services thinking that they would coach you. And they wouldn't. I mean, they didn't. It was basically throwing you to the wolves. And so I think I knew what I wanted, but I didn't really know what I wanted. I didn't know there were dating coaches out there. But it was, you know, God's intervention that brought you into my life, because, you know, you helped change my whole aspect of my life in the past 5 years.
Oh, I love that. And I love that I'm seeing you grow and grow. And it's so true. And I used to be a matchmaker, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, I coached my clients as a matchmaker. I can't even say the word anymore because I'm not one. But when I was a matchmaker, I did date coach my clients, but I do know a lot of matchmakers don't. A lot of matchmakers just set you up and that's it. And they're kind of like, okay, go out on the date, see what happens. And that's why when a lot of people would come to me, sometimes I would say to them, I would go, you don't need matchmaking, you need date coaching. And they were like, no, I just want to be set up. And they didn't, but I could see that me just setting them up wasn't going to get them into, I could see the underlying things that were holding them back, whether it was the mindset or it was past baggage from another relationship or marriage that they hadn't fully healed from that would hold them back. I was like, yeah, I could take your money and set you up, but that's not what's going to get you where you want to go. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. And it's interesting because a lot of people haven't worked with a matchmaker and a dating coach like you have. So you know the difference, right?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I felt like all they cared about was collecting their fee.
Yeah.
That they really didn't care about me. And that was frustrating because, you know, let's face it, you're spending a lot of money.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that matchmakers are expensive.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, but working with a coach, if you're getting what you need, it's worth every penny of it. Yeah. And that's why most likely me being unique, as you shared with me privately, that I said, I'm worth it.
Yeah.
Because I had spent that kind of money on matchmakers that didn't serve me. So if I was willing to spend that kind of money on something that didn't serve me, I certainly was willing to spend that kind of money on somebody, something that would serve me.
Right. So let's talk about where you were at before, because I want people to see your story, because I think a lot of people think, oh, well, it was easy for Barbara because she got a coach. And I just want to talk about if you could share your story about where you were at, because you were married before. Actually, I want to go one step further, because I know you've shared this with me before, and I know you're fine with sharing it, is it started with your father, right? And a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm of a certain age, that doesn't affect me anymore. Can you share with the ladies how your relationship with your father can still affect you today, even if you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s?
Oh, absolutely. So I was the only girl out of five kids, and our father was a domineering, controlling man. And by the time I came along, because I'm child number four, my mother had taught all of us the way you survive in this household is to be subservient. Now, my father was a very good provider, and, you know, I can say a lot of good stuff about my dad, but that was, you know, his issue. But what that taught me was to be quiet. How dare you have an opinion? And I will tell you how you should think is what I used to hear. And that I was, you know, I used to hear some negative things that definitely affected my self-esteem. So when I met my husband in high school, you know, he came from a dysfunctional family way worse than mine. So I was feeling unloved at home. He was feeling unloved at home. We loved each other. So we gave each other what we needed. And I got married at 18 to him, and it was a turbulent marriage, but we loved each other, and that was the glue for us. We had two daughters, and he had a lot of problems. And in 1991, he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which then gave us at least an inkling as to why he was the way he was. So between him going to doctors and finally getting on the right medication after a couple years, we continued marriage counseling and individual counseling, and we really learned how to communicate appropriately with his illness. He had an accident that was pretty devastating for him. And at the time of the accident, he was 350 pounds and was only 5'10". So he basically, the last year of his life, was in bed most of the time. And the only way he could be out of bed, because no doctor would do back surgery on him, was to unfortunately take pain medication. And in the winter, he was diagnosed with sleep apnea, and he had a machine. So on June 20th, 1998, I woke up and he did not. And unfortunately, he died because he pulled his mask off and he was too sedated to wake up. So it was very devastating. My kids were 14 and 10 at the time, and I was a mess. They were a mess. It was a horrible time. And the thought in my head, because I was 100 pounds overweight at that time, was who's going to love me now? And so after 6 months or so, there was somebody that was friends with him that I didn't really know well, but I knew he was divorced and he was an electrician and I needed work in my home. So I called him and he came and he looked at the work and he would call me about the job and the conversations would get personal, you know, and he would advise me on how to deal with my kids because at the time I was horrible. And so we just kept it as friendship for a while. And then after about close to a year when my husband had passed away, we started dating. And we were in a relationship for 14 years. And after the last three to five years of that relationship, I realized it wasn't serving me. And it took me a while to really analyze it and figure it out. But I did. And I, at that point, we were living together, so I asked him to leave. And that was 8 years ago, and that's when my journey, where you came into play, happened. So both my husband and my boyfriend were both domineering, controlling men, and they didn't serve me or feed my heart in love.
So let me ask you a question, Barbara, because that's interesting. You ended up with two men that were similar to your father, right? Mm-hmm. So when your husband passed away, that was traumatic, right? And then you ended up in this relationship with this man for 14 years, you said? So I know you had mentioned when the marriage ended, you said, who's going to love me as I am, right? So at 14 years later, how did you get the courage to say, you know what, I need to leave this relationship because it's not working for me, because I'm sure you were afraid and like, maybe I should just stay with him because maybe there's nobody better out there. So how did you get that courage to leave? Because you and I were not working together. You did this on your own.
I did. So there was something that occurred in my life in 2006, and I had weight loss surgery, which helped my self-esteem. I took off the 100 pounds. And so that elevated my self-esteem. But also there was a period of time that I realized a few years into my weight loss that I started gaining my weight back. And that was one thing that I promised myself I would never do. So I really had to sit back and assess, what am I emotionally eating about? Because that's really what my eating was about, was emotions. Mm-hmm. So I analyzed that. And that's when I realized that I was emotionally eating over the lack of love and connection in that relationship. And there was a point that came where I basically had had enough. And I said, it's time for you to leave. So that's what happened.
Wow. So without having a plan in place, right, did you immediately start dating or did you wait a couple years before? Did you heal?
Well, I knew I needed to heal. So at first we were of the mind that maybe we'll try like dating and see if we can get this relationship back together, which after a few months I was like, no, that's not happening. And then, but I knew I needed to heal. So I probably waited about 6 months until I actually got on a dating website, but I knew that I was showing up needy and doing all the wrong things. So, yeah. So it took a while. And again, I would get off, get back on, get on, get back off, try the matchmakers. That wasn't working. And then I discovered you.
And did that help build back up your self-confidence and self-esteem and knowing your self-worth and what you have to offer a man?
Yeah, because at that time when we separated, I knew that I didn't really know who I was. So I decided, okay, what am I going to do to like do something for myself? So I went out and I made girlfriends. Like I joined Meetup and I made friends because in both relationships, I was feeling isolated. I also thought about what did I used to do as a kid that I enjoyed. And that was I used to do ballet. I loved it. But I found a Groupon for ballroom dancing. So I started with that and I took ballroom dancing for a while. So, again, serving myself, taking care of me, thinking of myself, because nobody else really ever thought of me. Yeah, people showed concern. My kids cared about me, et cetera. They were adults and on their own. But this was the first time I ever lived alone, ever. So it was all about me. And I was totally okay with that because I have been giving and serving everybody all those other years.
Oh my goodness. I think every woman that has kids and, you know, has taken care of everybody else and that she's hearing you go, this is my time, right? I get to focus on me and I love that. And so, Barbara, one of the things I think you're fine with me sharing this is that as we started to work together, first of all, you were so positive when we first spoke. And when you said to me, and I never forgot it, is I'm worth it. And I was like, wow, I love that she just said that, because that tells me she is so in touch with herself and she believes in herself and she believes that this is really going to help her. And I will tell you, every client that has ever jumped on a call and has had that attitude, maybe not said the same thing you did, but has had that are the ones that always get into the relationship at some point. It doesn't matter how long it takes, but at some point, because number one, they never give up, which you never did. And I just want people to understand that dating is an up and down roller coaster ride, because you did get into a relationship with somebody where it didn't work and it didn't end well. But what made you keep going?
The thing that made me keep going was knowing, I just knew there was somebody special out there, that God does not intend for us to be alone. That's my ultimate belief. And yeah, I mean, I was perseverant.
Oh, I love that. Well, and you were. And then how did you meet Ed? Can you share with the ladies how you met Ed?
Absolutely. So I had a hiatus for about 3 months. And so I got back on the dating websites, and I actually found him on OkCupid. And I just randomly sent out messages to profiles that I believed were real and that the content had quality in it. And so I just sent out a message that said, hi there. And he responded. And the first thing he said to me was, I wasn't sure you'd be interested in me because I don't ballroom dance. And I said, that is not a deal breaker.
Oh, I love that. And so then after that, after the first couple of dates, how long before it turned into a relationship?
Well, you know, I really try to maintain an even keel, not to get too excited, not to put too much emotion into meeting somebody or even chatting with them online. That was my mantra at that point. Just lay low. Whatever happens, happens. Just allow it to flow naturally. And so he did all the right things, and he was extremely kind. And I knew he had a big heart from all the things I had learned about him. And so when he asked me out after our first meet, I allowed him to pick me up, and which normally I don't advise, but there were so many reasons that I felt so connected with him that I felt he was safe that way. And so after about a month, he had been planning this birthday party for his mother, who was turning 100, and he had been talking about it. And that was one of the things I knew he had a big heart about. And he gave me an invitation. So that sort of solidified that he was allowing me to meet his family. So that meant a lot. And then, so I did, and it was wonderful and it was beautiful. And for my birthday that year, because it was only 2 months after we met, he took me to New Orleans as a surprise. And I'm like, this is definitely the guy for me. So yeah, within 2 months, I knew this was a very special person.
So can you share with the ladies, because it's not about the trip or, you know, invite, how does he treat you? How is he different from your late husband and your ex-boyfriend?
Okay. He loves to give. He loves to do. He listens. He hears what I say. Like the New Orleans thing. I didn't even remember telling him that it was on my bucket list to go see the jazz festival there. And that's how he picked it. So he heard me. So I was heard. I was respected. I was cared for. Whatever I asked that we do as a date, we did. I mean, he didn't care if it was an expensive meal or, you know, a fast food, because we were running errands together. He's just such a big-hearted person, and I've never been treated so well in my life, and I just feel so blessed.
Aw, and so what I'm also hearing is that he's thoughtful, And he just, I'm also hearing that he puts you first.
Yeah. Like he said, I don't like being the center of attention. I don't like getting gifts. I mean, of course I give him gifts right. and I've had a birthday party for him, but he'd rather give and do. And I could hear that when he would share information with me before we even met. That's how I really felt that he had such a huge heart that he was worth taking a chance on.
I love that. So, Barbara, what would you say to that woman that is feeling like she may not be in a relationship or marriage? Let's just say she's been single for a while, maybe 5 or 10 years, and she's feeling like I've tried everything and it's not working. And she says, you know what, Barbara and Suzanne, I'm just going to give up. What would you say to her?
I would say, you know, sometimes we need to self-assess and we need to pivot or change or take a look at, you know, what is my part in this? What do I need to fix or change or alter in order to present myself differently to another person? That means so much. To be open to change is, it's a gift, because change is inevitable. And in order to be able to self-assess for the purpose of change, for the purpose of self-improvement, that's huge.
Yeah, and you might be pleasantly surprised. I think that a lot of people are afraid to step outside their comfort zone, but as they say, miracles happen when you step outside your comfort zone and you have the courage to do that. So this has been amazing. So Barbara, can you share with the ladies, I know you have a free gift, and where they can find that?
Yes. So, I guess, Suzanne, you'll put the link in a place where it's called The Do's and Don'ts on a First Date. So it's a guide for what you should do on a first date and what you should not do on a first date.
And trust me, ladies, Barbara knows. So that being said, ladies, if you would like to get Barbara's free gift, you can click on the link right below this video. Or if you're listening to the podcast, you can go to yournextamazingstory.com and find Barbara's interview, and you'll see the link right there. So thanks, everybody, for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available both in audio format and video format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.